ours is under attack. Time has come, we're gonna take it back. Just wait and see, don't tread on me. I won't sit back, stand idly by, watch the heart of my nation die. Oh, not me, don't tread on me. Don't tread on my Bible, don't tread on my guts. Don't you tread on my faith in God's only Son. Don't tread on me, don't tread on me. Better leave me alone, cause I wanna be free. And I damn still fight for my liberty. I'm telling you, brother, don't tread on me. Time has come, gonna take a stand. Spread these words all across the land. From sea to sea, don't tread on me. So tell your neighbors, tell all your friends. Gonna see that eagle flying high again. You better believe, don't tread on me. Don't tread on my Bible, don't tread on my guns. Don't you tread on my faith in God's only Son. Don't tread on me. Don't tread on me. Better leave me alone, cause I wanna be free. And I'll dance your fight for my liberty. I'm telling you, brother, don't tread on me. Yeah, I'm telling you, brother, don't tread on me.
Everybody, welcome on into Hump Day Wednesday, April 22nd, 2026 edition. Your defending fathers, Trucker Randy Bishop here on the Patriot Voice Radio Network. Well, it is official. All of the major candidates for governor and U.S. Senate have filed their signatures with the Bureau of Elections, Allegan Street, Secretary of State's office in Lansing, Michigan. Now they have staff lined up, assigned to the various campaigns to start what is called a percentage partial audit. Again, I explained yesterday's show, 30,000 signatures, maximum number you can turn in to be on the ballot for governor, U.S. Senate. Well, if you want to show that you have a lot of support, if you have a lot of volunteers, if you have signatures from every county, you turn in 30,000, knowing full well that you are going to be well beyond the 15,000 minimum after the Bureau of Elections goes through and does an audit of your signatures. A percentage partial audit, 10%. Of what you turn in. Assuming there's 10 signatures per page, they go through your boxes and just randomly pick out 300 sheets. 300 sheets times 10 signatures, 3,000 signatures represents 10% of the 30,000 you turned in. They then go through and look at every signature. They look to see if they're registered to vote. They look to see what county they live in. Where are they registered to vote? And then they calculate a percentage of good of those 3,000. If they say 20% of those 3,000 signatures were bad, the people weren't registered to vote, even though they were asked, are you registered to vote? They said yes, they had them sign. They weren't. They were embarrassed. Because everybody wants to believe that people are registered to vote when asked that question. A lot of people aren't registered to vote, but they say they are. 20% of your 3,000 signatures were bad. Out of the 3,000, 600 were bad, 2,400 were good. So basically, instead of having 30,000 signatures, you only got 24,000. Well, it's 9,000 more than you needed. So guess what? Net effectively, it's going to come out later today, probably this afternoon, maybe before we get off the air at noon, that all of these candidates that turned in signatures, they're on the ballot. So, Perry Johnson, John James, Eric Nesbitt, Ralph Rebant are going to be on the ballot. Did not get a report whether Tom Leonard, former Speaker of the House, whether he turned in his signatures. I've been scouring the news reports. We'll look and see if any breaking news comes in here shortly. And as soon as it does, I'll let you guys know. Mike Rogers on the ballot for the U.S. Senate. Abdul El-Sayed. Mallory McMorrow. And Haley Stevens on the ballot for the Democrat primary. We'll check the others as well. Dr. Jeff's going to be in the House. Text me any questions you may have. 231-360-5140. Short break. We'll be right back.
Chuck or Randy here. Let's face it, we're all getting older, but we don't have to feel the pains of getting older. Most people and even our pets have daily pain. Don't let pain slow you down. Get natural relief with CBD products from Patriots Relief. Designed by nature and trusted by millions, CBD synergistically works with your body to naturally relieve pain along with many other benefits. CBD is not marijuana and you will not get high. Vicky and I trust Patriots Relief products because they truly work. Go to their website, patriotsrelief.com, then call Tim and his family at 877-230-1776. Mention the promo code TR1 to get the biggest discounts. Again, call 877-230-1776 and mention TR1. Patriotsrelief.com.
Hear ye, hear ye, citizens of Northern Michigan. Your Royal Chariot deserves the finest care. From noble new tires to auto repairs, Royal Tire has decreed smoother travels for all.
Alas, my trusty steed hath a flat.
And terrible brakes.
Fear not, fair knight. At Royal Tire of Petoskey, we fix flats, tame brakes, quell noisy exhausts, and keep your kingdom, car, roadworthy. All at prices that won't raid your royal treasury. Royal Tire and Auto Repair of Petoskey, where every driver is treated like royalty.
This is Justin Michael. From day one, our campaign has been about one thing. People, the families, workers, veterans, small business owners, and communities that make Northern Michigan and the Upper Peninsula home. I'm running because too many people in Washington have forgotten who they serve. I've spent my life advocating for others, listening to their stories, and fighting for solutions that put people first. Our district deserves a representative who shows up, cares, and follows through on what they say they're going to do. It's time to start putting Americans first and Michigans first. Paid for by Justin Michael for Congress.
For all you folks out there that own firearms, are looking to buy a new or used gun, or fix up that old piece at a good price, there's Curtis Gunsmithing. Not too far off the beaten path at 9996 Picker Lake Road in Petoskey, Mr. Tom Curtis is an AGI-certified gunsmith and firearm connoisseur. Don't send your gun out or travel far away for your specialized gun work. You have a friend in your own backyard. Call Curtis Gunsmithing today, 231-347-3487.
And now this from Northern Michigan RV.
Hi, I'm Tony Kessering from Northern Michigan RV in Galen. Get ready for a new adventure with help from Northern Michigan RV. We sell everything from pop-ups and truck campers to luxury fifth wheels, and we have everything to keep you going, including parts, full service, and even propane. And we're open year-round. Don't buy anywhere before stopping into Northern Michigan RV. Off 32 on Expressway Court behind Walgreens and Gaylord. Online at northernmichiganrv.com. Get ready for a new adventure at Northern Michigan RV.
Hey, everybody. Welcome back into the show. Dr. Jeff is in the house, Sioux Animal Hospital up in Sault Ste. Marie, Michigan. He has some information that he doesn't even know that he's going to give to us yet, but I'm going to pull it out of him this morning. And we're so excited because This is your opportunity to ask the vet any questions you want. Again, text them to me at 231-360-5140. Jeff, welcome on into the show, brother.
Good morning.
Hey, Jeff, I got a text message that I did not understand. And I said, well, why don't you just call Jeff? And they said, well, no, you've been talking to him, and he's a busy guy. You know, and I'm like, and I'm not. And I said, call him. No, no, no. Just you answer this the best way you can. I said, okay. All right. Go for it. Their dog, who's 12, 13 years old, I believe they said, mixed breed, short hair, roughly about 70, 75 pounds.
Okay.
Has been going out, going to the bathroom in a normal spot. I guess they have some woods or trees behind their house, and they've trained the dog to go poop over there, away from the house, away from the deck. Has made friends with some does. Normally this dog chases the deer. Mm-hmm. But, you know, getting a little older, whatever. The dog went out to go to the bathroom, and the neighbor next door has been feeding the deer.
Yep.
They've got a herd of deer that comes next door. 10, 12, some nights 14, the deer are even fighting each other over the food. Well, the dog goes out to do his business, and this doe, it wasn't a buck, because they were very concerned if it was a buck, maybe the buck would, you know, lower its antlers and go charging at the dog, you know, or stand up and kick face him, you know, whatever, kick him in the face. This was a doe, and the tail was up on the deer, but was just standing there looking at the dog, and then started approaching the dog. And the guy's like, okay, should I freak out? Is this doe going to stand up and kick my dog in the face? What, you know, back kick him? What the heck? Stood there for a second, went and grabbed his phone and tried to video it. But it was kind of late. Sun was going down. It wasn't that bright. This deer, he said, came within like 3 feet of his dog. His dog was frozen, standing there, not wagging his tail, but was standing there. And the deer slowly stalked and approached up to the dog. He said they stood there for almost 5 minutes looking at each other. The noses were going. The dog's tail finally started to wag a little bit. Wasn't really excited, but a little bit. What the heck, he said, was going on with this doe? And she was older. He thinks actually she may have been a mother. Yep. What was this doe doing? Is the question.
She was doing a threat assessment, is what she was doing. And remember, this time of year, the bucks don't have antlers on either.
It could have been a buck.
Yeah, it could have been a buck. Probably not. Usually bucks are going to travel, are solo travelers. So anytime you see a group of deer, they're going to be does. She was doing a threat assessment to see, okay, is this dog a threat or not? I'm not quite sure. That's why the tail's up. I'm kind of on alert, you know, and you got to be careful. Does can attack too. Actually, does can be meaner than bucks, honestly. They're pretty. Watch a bunch of does out there fight amongst themselves. They can get pretty nasty.
This layout, this scenario.
Yep.
How would the doe, if she felt the dog was a threat, would she bite? Would she kick? Would she rear kick? How exactly would a doe like that attack this 70, 75 pound dog?
They usually strike with the front feet. She'd probably stomp and snort to try to scare it off.
Okay.
At first. And if that didn't work, she could. Well, one thing, they would obviously run away. You know, that's a deer's primary defense, is to, you know, kind of like Monty Python, you know, run away, run away.
Right, right.
Bonus points if anybody gets that reference. The or, you know, they will attack too. Now, the reason why she's gone up there to this predator, prey animals are incredibly curious, okay, where predator animals tend to be much more reserved. They'll stay back a little farther and things like that. But anytime you have prey animals, that's how come you see some of these interactions between deer and hunters and things like that, because they're not quite sure what you are. They'll actually kind of come and creep you out a little bit and go, okay, as long as they still feel somewhat safe. And they're trying to see, are you a threat or not? What are you? Okay. And that's what this doe was doing. The dog was not acting like a coyote or a wolf at that point where, you know, which would trigger the flight or fight response in the doe, because
right.
The dog's just standing there. She's like, all right, you look like a wolf, but you're not acting like a wolf. So what are you? And she's going up there and is this a threat? Is this not a threat? You know,
got it. So, okay. Yep. All right, because when he texted me that, I'm like, okay, you're laying... I mean, this text was like, you know, 300 words. And I'm like, okay, call Jeff. Just pick up the phone. No, he's too busy. I said, okay, well, then I'll ask him on the show on Wednesday.
Sure.
So this was perfectly normal.
Yep.
He said at the end, they basically just turned and walked away from each other. The dog came back. Yep. He called out to the dog. The dog started coming back to the house. The deer, hearing the dad, call him, yell out at the dog, then the deer, like you said, tail went up and bam, she was gone, right?
Yep.
So pretty interesting. I did not know that they would ever get that close to each other.
Oh, yeah. And you see videos online, and sometimes you do see particularly younger does play with
Oh, yeah. Yeah, I've seen those.
You know, so it can happen, but what you're describing here sounds to me more like an older doe, probably the matriarchal doe of the group is probably out there going, all right, who are you? Why are you here? What's up? You know, that kind of stuff.
Now, we have a massive number of doe here in Antrim County.
Yep.
I've noticed a few, you know, carcasses laying on the side of the road already. That, you know, they've been hit by vehicles.
Yep.
What's going up in the deer population up there in the UP?
Well, I don't. Yeah, downstate, they're almost like mile markers. There's so many of them.
Right.
We had a pretty hard winter, and I'm not sure how we're going to pull out of this yet. I haven't seen them come back onto my property yet, because they don't yard up on my property. Once the snow's gone, we still got snow. You know, you got bare patches, but especially if you get back in the woods, there's still snow on the ground. So, so I'm not sure. This was a pretty hard winter. And the worst thing that can happen for the deer is to get deep snow, have it melt, so you get that crust on the top of the snow, and then freeze again.
Oh, yeah.
Because now the wolves and coyote can run across the top of the snow. The deer bust through. So I don't know what kind of level of predation loss we had this year, too. So it's going to be.
That's not good for the deer.
And they can't get away. You know, right. I do see the, trying to take this on a sidebar, I do see that the NRC or National Resource Council is going over redoing our deer. I've been kind of following this a little bit, redoing our deer season, trying to address the lack of hunter participation, lack of hunter recruitment, just as you said, the ton of does around there. And I see they're trying to go back to the one buck, you know, per season.
Yes.
I would do, and like I've always said here, you want more bucks, you want bigger bucks, shoot more does. And I think maybe they finally have figured it out. I would almost do earn a buck. Oh, you want a buck tag? Shoot a doe. Come back with your doe. Okay, here's your buck tag. You know, because that's
like
what
that.
You need. That's what you need to do. Or we almost need to do a season where, you know, shut down the buck harvest for a season, you know, and try to get the sex ratio back in balance. And the other thing that they're going to need to do is this baiting ban, because that is, in my opinion, part of the reason. I mean, we can go on a full, you know, we get towards fall here, we can go on a full thing on this, on, you know, deer and wildlife control, wildlife health. But I think that's, I mean, if, and the thing is, there really is no hunting ban or baiting ban. It's just you can't do it cheaply. Okay. If you have, see, they still let you put in a food plot. Okay.
Sure.
Well, you have to have land. You have to have equipment. You know, it takes some investment to put a food plot in. And not everybody that hunts has access to that. Okay. And so that's where we'll do, especially in state land, they'll do, you know, now granted, I wouldn't go out necessarily and dump a 2 tons of sugar beets like they used to do, you know, back in the day. Right. You know, right. That might be a little excessive. And part of it is, I understand they want to do it because people are like, what about CWD? I'm like, yeah, it's here. We have to deal with it. But part of dealing with it is keeping the numbers down. But if you're, it's a very complicated, because then if you're not baiting, you're not letting people aren't having success. People that don't have success doing something aren't going to keep doing it, you know? Right. So then they're not going to be, and then you're going to wind up with an overpopulation of deer, which is what you're seeing right now in the Lower Peninsula, which is then going to even make the CWD infinitely worse. And then here's the kicker on this, and I've said this before, and I kind of started watching, I got on YouTube, fell down the YouTube rabbit hole, and I found this, what's the channel? It's like National Deer Farmers Association, people that farm these deer. And they were start talking about some of these genetic markers on there, so I started digging in there. And yes, there are deer that are genetically resistant to CWD. And that's kind of how we got it out of sheep. It's still in sheep a little bit. Sheep have their own version. It's called scrapie.
Yep.
So there's multiple. It's like trying to fight a swarm of hornets at this point. I mean, there's so many things moving and going on and like that. And they're trying to, and of course the NRC is trying to please, you know, umpteen number of different people with different, you know, with different, goals. You know, obviously the auto insurance companies would be glad if we got rid of all the deer so they can quit paying for deer collisions.
Yeah, absolutely.
The hunters, we want to have a nice balanced, you know, resource that we could use and, you know, maintain our traditional ways. And of course, then you have the anti-hunting people that just
One thing I would like you to do is take the time to forward your idea to the DNR, the Natural Resources Division. Earn a buck is a brilliant idea.
Yeah.
You kill a doe, you bring the doe into a station where they can look at it, they can look at its teeth, determine its age, all of that, register it. Then they give you a voucher for you to go and get a buck license.
Yeah.
You got to get that idea out, brother, because I think that would solve the problem tremendously. Yeah. So, hey, listen, I want to give out the phone number. If you guys do have long-winded questions like that, instead of texting them to me, pick up the phone, Sioux Animal Hospital in Sioux St. Marie, 906-635-5910. Again, 906, area code 635-5910. Give Jeff a call.
Yep.
Email your animal's information or questions, info@SiouxAnimalHospital.com. Go ahead, Jeff, real quick.
I was going to say, go ahead. If you got weird questions like that, go ahead and email them to us. You know, I like getting those. They kind of are it's different. I like answering different questions.
Very good. We'll talk to you next week, brother.
Talk to you later.
This is Michigan.